Are you ready to create a life of balance, abundance, and joy? To live from a place of right intention and right alignment in all that you do? Then tune in right now to Living on Purpose with your host, Carolyn Romano. Living on Purpose is about standing in the center of your life so that no matter what's happening around you, you can respond from a place of peace and strength. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways you're meant to serve and grow while staying open to experiencing life fully. Living on Purpose is a time for us to come together to remember our divine selves while we learn and wonder about, weigh and consider, and unpack and repack the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life.
Welcome to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. I'm Carolyn Romano, your host, and I'm delighted to be here with you tonight. You are listening to a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network live broadcast at AM 1510 WMEX Boston. To learn more and for a full station schedule that includes our affiliate show times, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Listeners, our topic tonight is Dream Time, Willingness to Become Your Vision. But first, I like to cover a few housekeeping details. This show, Living on Purpose, is also aired on dreamvision7radio.com at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Mondays and Tuesdays, as well as on other affiliates. Past shows are downloadable at the Dream Vision 7 archive and on iTunes. I invite you to please like my Facebook page, Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, and you can contact me via email, carolyn@blisshealingarts.com, or via my website, blisshealingarts.com. The Dream Vision 7 Network has over 1.3 million listeners in more than 135 countries. We've got lots of great shows with new hosts joining all the time, so I invite you to have a listen. I was realizing today that I am approaching my five-year anniversary of being a part of the Dream Vision 7 Network. Can't believe where the time has gone. It's been an incredibly enriching experience for me. And before I move into more detail on tonight's topic, I just wanted to remind listeners that our last show was called Moon Lodge, Seeing Strength in Non-Action. And in that show, I explained what a Moon Lodge is in Native and Indigenous cultures, and also what it symbolizes in the Native American Sacred Path Card deck by Jamie Sams. That's the deck that I use to build much of the content of my shows. By the card, just to bring people up to speed, it signals a time of retreat or yearning for a much-needed break. So if you get the Moon Lodge card, it's a time to look at your emotions, your dreams, how you might be in need of mothering or nurturing or tending to in your life. And it's also an opportunity for increased self-awareness. A lot of times when we stop and allow ourselves to be in a more receptive state, we are able to learn more about ourselves. Of course, not all of us want that or can handle that in from moment to moment, but it's certainly an opportunity. So that show, Moon Lodge, Seeing Strength in Non-Action, is available in the Dream Vision 7 archive. But tonight, our topic is Dream Time, Willingness to Become Your Vision. You can also think of it as living into your vision, making sure that you're dreaming a dream that's big enough. If this card, Dream Time, shows up in a spread, it's a card that asks you to expand your awareness of what you perceive to be real. What happens sometimes is that when you limit your reality to what's right in front of your eyes, you know, what you can see with your own eyes or feel with your hands, that sort of thing, the physicality of it, you're not actually allowing spirit to present all sorts of experiences that are designed for your growth. So really the keynote for this kind of a card and the Dreamtime experience is unlimited vision. And when you look at or do any research on what the dream time is, it's a concept that's most rooted in sort of Aboriginal cultures, talking about the dream time actually as a creation story, but also as sort of a parallel reality. And it's not unlike the notion of shamanic journeying, maybe akin to the middle world for folks who have a familiarity with the journeying experience. But it's this parallel reality that folks can access and actually have what happens there inform or influence what happens in this current reality. So it's an interesting notion to get your head around. And it actually reminds me a little bit of when I spoke about Tom Campbell's work, the physicist Tom Campbell, in My Big Toe, and toe standing for theory of everything, and his notion that we are living in a virtual reality. I think that might have been my show in June where I talked about that, so you can check that out. So again, this notion of dream time, living into your vision, is pretty timely for me, as most of the topics of the shows are. It's almost like a forecast. When I come up with a show topic, I do it. I forecast the next month in the current show that I'm doing. So I figured out what next show's topic is using my pendulum and sacred path cards tonight for next month. And interestingly, in last month's work, there were a couple of quotes that I did not share with listeners, and I understand why now, because they're very, very appropriate for tonight's Dreamtime topic. So this first one is by T.E. Lawrence, and it's from his memoir, Seven Pillars of Wisdom. T.E. Lawrence was an author and a military person, and actually the movie Lawrence of Arabia was based on his life. So here's the quote. All men dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds wake in the day to find that it was vanity. But the dreamers of the day are dangerous, for they may act their dreams with open eyes to make it possible. And so this is the perfect quote to kind of encapsulate that notion of your dream time dreams of unlimited vision and sort of the sleep time dreams that folks have. Some people even think that medicine dreams that happen, you know, in the sleep time are from the dream time and are sort of a vehicle for people to be influenced by what's happening in the dream time. Okay, so moving on. One of the books that was incredibly influential for me, going probably on, 16 years ago, was by Donna Markova. I've talked about it before in prior shows. And it's called I Will Not Die, An Unlived Life. The subtitle to that book is Reclaiming Purpose and Passion. And I thought it was most interesting that as I'm moving forward in a pretty significant way in my own life, that this book pops off the shelf for consideration. And this time, what I'm asked to talk about is Chapter 12 of the book, where Donna Markova talks about this near-death experience that she had. So I'm reading the chapter tonight. She talks about how she was, I think, in the emergency room or something, and she has people tending to her, and she starts to die. She feels herself, what she calls or describes, falling upward, almost sort of a falling out of fear, where she left her body and she could hear the doctors and nurses talking about her physical body that was left there on the table. And she recounts how while she was out of her physical body, she had this conversation between her soul and the life that she had lived. And she described it as a dialogue without words. And the first thing that she was asked was, have you had enough joy? Interesting, right? Joy being something that, you know, you're dead, and that's a question that comes up for contemplation. And what she realized is how important it is for us to really experience the moments that we're given, right? None of us knows how many moments we're going to be given, and how do we really show up for those moments how do we show up from a place of joy? Even sometimes, I would challenge all of us, through the hard stuff. Like, how do we bring joy to the experiences in our lives? And then four questions came as well. What's unfinished for you to give? What's unfinished for you to heal? What's unfinished for you to learn? What's unfinished for you to experience? And I think, wow, I mean, that really does kind of sum it up, right? When you think about, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? Well, answer these four questions. What's unfinished for you to give, to heal, to learn, to experience? So that's what was going on for her while she was, you know, dead. And then she actually fell back into her body on her way to the morgue. I mean, can you imagine? At least she didn't wake up in a drawer, but still pretty pretty crazy experience. And what was really compelling to me was one of the things that she talked about was that that experience of dying and coming back to life taught her, quote, "I know I need to learn to observe with passion, to think with patience, and to live with care. I know we begin and end with authenticity, and in between, our task is to find ways to make that authenticity relevant to the world." And I thought, wow, if that doesn't sum up everything, right? I mean, we spend our whole lives trying to be our most authentic selves. And it doesn't stop there, but we find who we are at our core, our essence, one of my friends says all the time. And then how do you make that authenticity, that most authentic part of yourself, that medicine that only you have to express and to offer the world? How do you make it relevant? So I offer that for your consideration. And I'll tell you what's been going on for me. I have been probably my entire life, but more recently for the last 2 years, really playing with the idea, and more than playing, I'm holding a vision for having a sanctuary, and not just a sanctuary for animals, but a sanctuary for animals and their people. And this all comes out of an experience I had adopting my dog, Charlie, who passed away just about 2 years ago. He was a stud from a puppy mill, and he had a really difficult life until he came to live with me and his little other adopted brother, Frankie. And his passing in the 4 years that we got to spend together really inspired me to want to figure out a way to create this sanctuary. Now, I don't have a lot of resources. I don't come from a lot of resources. But it was something that felt so completely right and pure of intention that I thought, you know what, I'm going to hold this vision and see what I can do with it. And so, like I said, that was 2 years ago. Probably about 5 years ago, I had a session with one of my teachers, and she was channeling her guides. And what came out from that session when I asked about, you know, well, what am I supposed to do with my life? What is my ultimate purpose? And what I was told was that I would be running a healing center. I needed to open a healing center, and that it would take 5 years to do it, that sort of thing. So, you know, sometimes you take those readings with a grain of salt, but, you know, at the same time, you want to, you know, give it some weight. And so all of these things have been sort of percolating for quite some time now. And so I'm like, all right, well, I surrender to this. I'm willing to become the vision, as tonight's topic indicates. And so for the last few years, I've been working really hard to figure out what that means. Is it a virtual sanctuary? Is it something where, you know, we incorporate as a nonprofit and then we help other rescues out there who certainly are under-resourced in many ways? Or do we create an actual space in this reality? And so even though I feel like I've been preparing for it forever, over the last month since we last had this show, I have actually purchased or am in the process of purchasing land to have this sanctuary. And so I think the purchase and sale is signed almost 2 years to the day that Charlie passed away. So it just feels incredibly fitting. And all along these last 2 years, and I'm hoping this is an experience that can generalize to where you may be in your life and the vision that you are willing to become and live into, I have been speaking about Charlie's place in the present tense. I have been announcing that it exists at various events. I've been pulling people together who are interested in being a part of this in some way. And just holding that space, asking other people to hold that space. And wow, look at this. Here it is happening. So it's just a pretty powerful moment for me. And not that it was something that, wow, just fell into my lap, even though I know that Spirit is always generous with me, something that I've worked really hard for as well. In truly what I think is that co-creative partnership where you just are unaware of all that's possible when you really are holding an unlimited vision. So pretty amazing, too, that Donna Markova's book fell off the shelf tonight to reinforce for me what I've been going through and what important lessons are there about how you really sort of bring your most authentic self to the world and really figure out how you can be relevant. The other thing that she kind of goes into in the chapter, which I think is pretty important, is this notion, and I sometimes feel like I'm morbid when I bring this up, but that, you know, every year we have a birthday, right? We pass it every year. And we also pass the day in the future that will become the anniversary of our death, right? I just remarked that we're coming up on the two-year anniversary of Charlie's passing. And it's, you know, impossible to know. But what she poses is a question that, you know, if you did know, how would it change the way you live your life? And I just think this is a really important notion for us to stay present to. You know, there was a murder out in Phillipston, Massachusetts about a week ago. A woman was out jogging and, you know, she ended up being assaulted and killed. And she was just out for a jog, and that was certainly not on her agenda that day. And, you know, we don't know. And so how do we really make meaning in our life? How do we finish up what's unfinished in terms of what we need to give to the world and what we need to heal in ourselves or out in the world, what we still need to learn and experience? And so I just really like for all of us, myself included, to really stay present to the fact that we do have a finite amount of time to have an impact. So what? How big can our dream be? And how unlimited can our vision be? Pema Chodron talks about, she's a Buddhist teacher. I think she just turned 80 this year. And she says, so many of us are living our lives like we're standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon with a paper bag over our head. And I thought, oh, my God, it's so true. Like, that we're just walking around just in kind of this gray state. And isn't that unfortunate? Not only for ourselves and our own growth, but also for how we are not making ourselves available to impact the world and to impact it in only the ways that we can. It makes me think about all of the ways that we really limit ourselves, right? Often our worst enemy is ourself, right? Or we, you know, think we know who we are, and that story imposes all of these limitations on us, right? Oh, I'm not the kind of person who can this. I'm more the kind of person who does that. And, you know, a lot of times these stories we create are really coming out of a place of fear or guilt or shame, right? And they're not really who we are at all. And so what if we really didn't go in that direction, but instead we recognize the fact that we're so much more than that, that we're what Donna Markova calls a soul in wonder. And if we showed up to our lives from that perspective, how amazing would that be? She quotes Parker Palmer in this chapter 12 of her book, I Will Not Die an Unlived Life. And it's, quote, "No punishment anyone might inflict on us could possibly be worse than the punishment we inflict on ourselves by conspiring in our own diminishment." Oh, beautifully stated. And how sad that that is incredibly true for so many of us, that we really conspire in our own diminishment. Someone compliments us and we instantly figure out a way to minimize it or not take credit for it. And, you know, it's not about cultivating this huge ego, but it's about being open to the fact that we are really powerful souls. And when we step into our unlimited vision and when we open to being in co-creative partnership with spirit, we get to find who we are, right? Our own authenticity. And then we get to make that authenticity relevant to the world. So I have more to say about that, more to say about Donna when we come back. But I see we are bumping up against a break. So I thank you for listening so far. And I look forward to talking with you in a few. And I'll let Brad take us to break.
Living your values? Looking for companions on the path? With wisdom, humor, and compassion, artist Sarah Jepson-Zitter answers many of the questions we have about living a spiritually grounded life. Check out her stunning graphic novels and designs on cards, mugs, and other cool gifts at gnomestedding.com. That's G-N-O-M-E stedding.com. Or call Sarah at 978-897-6239 for more information.
Donna Schatz is a licensed acupuncturist located in the Porter Square, Cambridge area of Somerville. With over 25 years of experience, Donna combines massage, acupuncture, and Reiki in her work while focusing on each client's individual needs. Contact Donna at 617-776-3065 or visit www.donnaschatz.com. That's 617-776-3065 or donnaschatz.com.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show every first and third Sunday, 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Every first and third Sunday from 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Dream Vision. Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ask Dr. Love is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every second and fourth Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, a.k.a. Ask Dr. Love, is a psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert who offers advice and answers to your relationship questions. Hear about Dr. Love's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and make peace with a loved one. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. Call 866-338-9663 or 617-237-1234.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at AM 1510 WMEX Boston. If you're just joining us, our topic tonight is Dream Time, Living into Your Vision. So before the break, we were talking about some great information and teachings from Donna Markova, who is one of my go-to people or go-to authors. And this information I'm sharing is from a book called I Will Not Die, An Unlived Life. And so in the first segment of the show tonight, I talked about what she had learned from having a near-death experience and how that really changed her life, which is often the case when you read and hear about other people's experiences where they die and then are revived. And so the final thing that I wanted to share is sort of how she came to understand what your what one's purpose is and how you come to know it, I guess. And so she talked about her experience of writing the book that I'm sharing with you, and she had to actually go off into the middle of nowhere in the dead of winter and spend 6 months in a cabin, and she called it a time where she was resting and receiving her own inner experience. And she realized that in doing so, she was creating conditions for a sense of purpose to arise. And so I love this notion, and I really do think it's true. It's often about what we allow to emerge rather than what we go out to try to kind of pinpoint. And so what she says, again, this is in chapter 12 if you want to go buy the book or download it. She says, quote, I'm coming to understand that there is no such thing as finding one's purpose. It's about creating the conditions for 6 months or 6 minutes where your purpose can find you. It's not about asking what is the meaning of life, but rather asking what your life means. It's being willing to receive the truth of what you hear. So I love that notion of, you know, what conditions do we need to create so that our purpose can find us? I think so often, and I am as guilty as the next person, we clutter our lives with things that we think we have to do or obligations we feel are just this, like, nonstop chatter. Even things that we, like, create in our own minds that aren't even really happening, but we project these interpretations on the experiences that we have day to day that then create this other sort of drama that's playing out inside our heads. And so what do we need to do? What do we have to sort of move to the side or be willing to release in order to become your vision or allow your purpose to find you? Right? And then asking not what the meaning of life is, but what does your life mean? What does my life mean? Like, how do we create meaning and relevance? And how do we figure out the ways we're meant to serve? So I just think that that's really an important concept for us to really reflect on, really thinking about sort of where does each of us fit or stand on that continuum of letting purpose find us? And, you know, what needs to happen, right? What would really have to happen in your life to create those conditions for purpose to arise? And what would have to happen so that the meaning of your life could really sustain you? Fortunately, I have a job that I really love. I have a few jobs, but the job where I spend most of my time, I enjoy it tremendously. I think we're doing valuable work, and I work with amazing people, and I am learning every day and contributing in really powerful ways. So that's pretty sustaining. But many of us don't have that blessing. And, you know, we're showing up for our, you know, our shift, so to speak. And we wait until, you know, we're not in work to have any kind of meaning. And that's really unfortunate. And I don't know. I hope that there's a way for each of us to be able to move towards something that brings more joy or brings more meaning or allows us to really live in a way that's really authentic. So that is something that I am wishing for everyone. I feel like I'm moving forward in that way. But I also know that the ways that we get distracted, perhaps, or the ways that, you know, we think we need to move, you know, take a right instead of a left, are not necessarily mistakes or failings. They're just part of the journey, right? Part of what we need to learn in order to be kind of moved back towards our most authentic selves. In any event, that is something that I really wanted to share, and it felt so aligned with tonight's topic of dream time and willingness to become your vision and really claiming one's purpose, letting it find you, creating those conditions. All right, so last show I promised that I would share about what was called a flash build. I was able in July to attend a training to learn how to be a Scrum Master, and so I talked about the different aspects of Scrum and how there really were some spiritual basis for a lot of the teaching, that there were ways that people were coming together to create that I thought were really powerful and had a lot of potential, not just for sort of product development, because that was a big focus of the training, but also just sort of in life. How can you kind of apply Scrum to your daily life as a way to sort of accelerate your productivity and deliver what they call, you know, increments of product to the world, right? So it's like accomplishing goals. If you were to apply it to your personal life, how do you accomplish goals and stuff that allows your authenticity and medicine to be relevant to the world? Okay, so this interesting thing, and you can actually Google this, it's from the Nordstrom Innovation Lab. It's called a flash build, and it was this Scrum team going into a Nordstrom store in a surprise location in Seattle, and they were going to spend 5 days building an app that would help people select a pair of sunglasses. And so this team worked together and worked with customers to get, like, on-the-spot feedback and to make sure they were only doing things that the customer valued, and they would go and, you know, show sort of analog versions of this is the app we want to build, and they had drawings that they would show to people, and then they would make revisions, turn it over to engineering, and have them then put it, you know, code it for the iPad, test it out. And so they did sort of this iterative process of trying to come up with the best app. You know, it would take a picture of a person wearing a pair of sunglasses and put on another pair, takes another picture, and you could compare and eliminate and choose your pair of sunglasses. So why is this so important? Well, for one, it makes me think about what happens when people come together towards a common goal. It also makes me think about the fact that the universe loves speed. I've talked about that a number of times on past shows. And it's very interesting what can happen when you get into this sense of flow and mastery, right? And you're allowed to be innovative and creative. And people working together are really motivated when they're allowed to think and create. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I also thought, you know, if you go and watch the video of this, I don't know, under 7 minutes, at the end, one of the software developers, I think he was a coder, said something, well, when do you know when you're done? And he said, I guess it just depends on how much time you have. And so, you know, they worked as hard as they could in that five-day sprint, and they tried to come up with the best product they could in that time block. And I think that's a really great guiding principle, or I don't know, maybe metaphor for or disposition to have, that, you know, sometimes we really do only have finite time to do our best. And maybe our best isn't perfection, but it's still our best. And it gives us this opportunity to put something out into the world and to not wait. Because I think many of us think that we can't start something until all the conditions are favorable. And maybe the conditions that we're reaching for are never going to be completely in place. And so this notion of we've got this much time, and in this much time, I'm going to risk it, and I'm going to put forward my best effort and have that be okay, like, and feel good about it, not sort of like, oh, I did this half-hearted thing. It's really feeling good about impacting in the way that you could in the time you had. So, wow, we're already up against our next break. When we come back, we will go into a few more things around how to move towards creating conditions for our purpose to find us. So I will talk to you in a few and let Brad take us to break.
Ever feel like you're getting in your own way? Want your life to flow effortlessly? Ready to step into the fullness of who you really are? Spiral Energies can help you transform your life and manifest your highest potential so you can live a deep, rich existence. Contact Janet Kesenick at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com. 617-926-4155. Begin your transformation today.
Harvard holistic psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Dr. Judy Tsafrir offers empowering astrology and tarot readings that provide insight and guidance regarding love, work, and higher purpose. For more information, call 617-965-3020 or visit bostonastrologer.com or bostontarot.com. Readings are available via phone, Skype, and in person in Newton Center, Massachusetts.
Maybe you have clear goals for your life but wish you were making more progress. Or perhaps you have no idea where you're headed, yet you still feel a sense of urgency to get there. Wherever you find yourself at this moment, consider how you will benefit from shamanic coaching with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts. This face-to-face approach works on achieving alignment on all four levels of your existence: mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Shamanic coaching combines traditional coaching methods with energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and shamanic techniques. The goal, to help people create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. Call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Mark your calendars now to attend the Theosophical Society's 6th Annual Day of Healing and Insight on Saturday, January 14th, 2012, located at the TS on 21 Maple Street in Arlington, Massachusetts. Work with top intuitive and alternative healing professionals at a very reasonable rate. Each 25-minute session is just $20. Try energy work, intuitive readings, astrology, body work, and more. For more information and to register, visit tsboston.org. That's tsboston.org. All proceeds benefit the Theosophical Society.
What if everything that you've been taught about who you are and what life is has been untrue? Join Devra LaValle, host of Living in Quantum Love, where she'll explore and dissect the limiting beliefs and wrong understandings that have only served to keep us not only separate from one another, but from our own selves. Living in Quantum Love can be heard every third Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Join Devra and take a leap to freedom.
This is Dream Vision 7 radio network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at AM 1510 WMEX Boston. If you're just joining us, we are in the final segment of Dream Time, Willingness to Become Your Vision. As I explained earlier in the hour, I feel like I am in this grand experiment of just that, of really being in a space of willingness and trust to become my vision, or to live into my vision of having a healing sanctuary for both animals and people. And we're minute by minute seeing how it's all unfolding, so it's pretty exciting. But in this last segment, I wanted to talk about a few things from another work. This time, it's by Cheryl Richardson in her book, Stand Up for Your Life, which came out, gosh, quite a number of years ago. Cheryl Richardson is a pretty well-known life coach and is quite involved in the goings-on at Hay House, which is one of the biggest spiritual clearinghouses and publishing companies and conference creators that exist, if they're not the biggest. So a couple of tips came out of Chapter 5 and Chapter 6 tonight. The first is around building your courage muscles, coming out of Chapter 5 of that book. And so for those who are just joining us for this segment, what we talked about in a large part of the show was this notion of how do you kind of create the conditions in your life so that a sense of purpose can arise or find you. And sometimes, because of the ways that our lives are constructed, it really requires us to build some courage muscles to overcome our fear. And, you know, I would encourage you to think of a time where you were faced with some kind of fear and you actually overcame it, and what a powerful experience that was for you. I know sometimes it can be really difficult for me to have any kind of confrontation with another person, especially like in the workplace. I mean, I'm much better now than I used to be, but it used to be just this paralyzing fear for me. And, you know, working through that over the years really gives you a sense of power. And it also, I think, and I think Cheryl Richardson would say this too, that it starts you on this path to freedom. Because so often we allow fear to really limit our lives. And then we feel anything but freedom because we're really sort of subservient to the fears that we have, and they really can be holding us back from doing what we'd like to do. I remember, boy, a number of years ago, I think in the 90s, I did a fire walk. So I spent the day out on some farm. I couldn't even tell you where it was, somewhere in Massachusetts, and spent the whole day with a group of people I'd never met before, waiting for a pile of wood to burn down into a bed of 1,500-degree coals. These suckers were hot. They looked like, I mean, they were just glowing red and orange and yellow after about, I don't know, 8 hours of being burned. And I remember the guy who was leading the fire walk just standing in the middle of all of these coals, like raking it out into a big bed. And then, you know, one by one or in pairs, people would just walk through the bed after we had been, you know, prepped all day to really kind of get into this altered state. But still, there was certainly fear present, and it was only compounded by the fact that the person leading it said, you know, if you're feeling a lot of fear, then you probably shouldn't do it because, you know, that can interfere. You know, you can get burned that way. So then you have to go in and assess, well, how much fear am I really feeling here? So anyway, but once you get through something like that, you think, wow, if I can walk through a, you know, a bed of hot coals and face that fear, you know, what can I do? You know, so a big metaphor for a shift in life. And, you know, even just pushing ourselves in smaller ways, I'm not advocating that we all run out and walk on hot coals, but I think there are lots of times where if we just kind of dig a little bit, we can push past a fear where, you know, habit might want us to operate like we've always operated and not move past the fear. And so it doesn't mean that you stop feeling fear as you, like, have these experiences one after another of, like, overcoming a fear, but it does help you to really train yourself to become a person that wants to face fear instead of someone who wants to avoid them. So that, I think, is really an important path to being able to kind of build those courage muscles, as Cheryl Richardson says. And it's also one of the key ways that we can say yes to our lives, right? That we can push forward to, you know, allowing that sense of purpose to find us. You know, we've heard this many times before, I think, you know, what would you do if you weren't so afraid, right? A lot of times we have a notion of purpose, but our fears around, you know, changing jobs or not having enough money or what will happen to my relationship if I move in this direction or, you know, that kind of thing gets in the way. The other thing that she talks about is in another chapter, chapter 6, that's called Pass Up Good for Great. And in this chapter, she kind of spells out the notion that we really do have only a certain amount of time and energy. I talked about that at the top of the hour. And we need to figure out how we want to spend that time and that energy. So her suggestion is that we pass up what's good for what is great. And it reminds me of the show I did a few months ago, might have been in the spring, where I talked about the book I read called Essentialism. And that book was about stripping down your life and the choices you make to what is most obviously essential. And what was so helpful to me as I went through the book was that it talked about the fact that when you're choosing one thing you're not choosing other things. And that sounds like really basic, but for many of us who come from a really compassionate place, or you know, we have a certain number of skills that we can bring to bear to impact all sorts of causes, so we don't know where to put our time and our energy, right? And so part of the analysis is, you know, what do I want to do more? Like, where do I want to help more? Like, what? And so that's that same notion of passing up good for great, like holding out for the thing that you most want to impact. And it really is, it boils down to what I talked about in the first segment of the show about understanding that part of why we're here is to get to this really authentic place in our lives, right? And to allow that authenticity to become relevant to the world, right? To serve in a way where we can bring our gifts to bear in the most impactful way. And so that's another way of really aligning with purpose, to really think about, okay, well, because I'm choosing this, I'm not choosing this and this and this or that, but that's okay because other people might be more aligned with choosing those things, because I need to focus. I am most authentic when I am focused in this way. So I offer that for your consideration. Again, Cheryl Richardson's book, Stand Up for Your Life, and then the other book I mentioned was called Essentialism, and the author is escaping me right at the moment. Okay, so I thought I would wrap up the show with a quote by Teddy Roosevelt back in 1910 that I think is pretty powerful, and then I'll tell you about some upcoming events. So here's the quote. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. I read that about a month ago, and I thought, wow, that's it. It's the people who are willing to be in the game, be in the race, even though they're marred by dust and sweat and blood, and there's plenty of other people who aren't involved, criticizing and pointing out how things could have been done better. So I encourage you to overcome whatever fears prevent you from being in the race and finding your most authentic self and figuring out how to bring that medicine into the world, because the world needs it. How do you create those conditions that Donna Markova talks about so that your purpose in life can find you? And how do you answer those questions that she was asked during her near-death experience? What's unfinished for you to give? What's unfinished for you to heal? What's unfinished for you to learn? What's unfinished for you to experience? So let's contemplate all of this as we close tonight's program. Let you know about some upcoming opportunities. I run two shamanic journeying groups every month. The first is on the second Monday, and the second is on the fourth Thursday. Be in touch if you would like to join us. I also have individual client appointments for readings or shamanic healing sessions available. I thank you for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please email me at carolyn@blisshealingarts.com. Our next show is September 11th, 2016, at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, where our topic will be Burden Basket, Owning Your Mastery. Remember, tonight's show will air Monday and Tuesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. at dreamvision7radio.com. Until next time, I wish you moments of grace descending. Take good care.
Thank you for tuning into Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Please join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. when we unpack and examine the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways we're meant to serve and grow, while staying open to experiencing life fully. It's about recognizing and becoming the fullest expressions of who we are. It's about envisioning the lives we're meant to be living, and then joyfully living from that end. Yes, Boston and beyond. Until next time.